I help people connect the dots in terms of understanding the very intimate relationship between food and mood. And unfortunately, with addiction today, you know, these addiction treatment centers are not acknowledging, they're not embracing the role that nutrition plays on addiction. And that's why in these addiction recovery centers, they have about a 90% failure rate because they're not dealing with the underlying reasons behind addiction. And, you know, make no mistake that this addiction epidemic that we have today is bankrupting us. This is our number one health problem. There are more deaths and disabilities from addiction, from substance abuse in particular, than from the chronic diseases that we're seeing today. But this isn't talked about because addiction is the elephant in the room. And so essentially, I interview in the book people who are dealing with nutrition and addiction. That's one of the bulk, one of the things that I do in my clinical practice in terms of helping people with mood disorders and addiction is working with them on the nutritional element. But I go deeper than that because I look at their biochemistry. I'm trained in a very specific field of biochemistry, and it's so exciting, and I love what I do because it works. And when I work with people who have addiction, whatever kind of addiction it may be, to caffeine, to sugar, to alcohol, nicotine, they may be obsessive compulsive, so they're addicted to worrying, you know, all the time.
Drugs, all of the
drugs, all the different drugs. I have a lot of people who come to me, they're taking prescription drugs, they're taking street drugs, anything to stabilize themselves during the day. To me, a drug is a drug is a drug. So if people are relying on sugar, that's a drug. If people are relying on the street drug, that's a drug. It doesn't matter to me the name of the drug. If people are using drugs to get through the day, something's wrong with their biochemistry. And you cannot talk somebody out of an addiction. You cannot. Most people are brainwashed to believe that that is the case. And sadly and tragically, that's the one of the main areas of therapy is this talk therapy. And it's just, it's
we're so missing the boat. The physiology of the cell is the issue.
Right. You've got to address things like thyroid function, adrenal function, blood sugar balance. You've got to look at the stress load on the adrenal glands. One of the core things I have to do to get somebody back running on all eight cylinders is to look at the functioning of the adrenal glands. And unfortunately, the medical schools aren't properly trained in terms of identifying and understanding the true function of adrenals. And the adrenal glands, most people don't understand that they're responsible for balancing your body's minerals, but they're also responsible for kicking out unwanted metals. And so if the adrenals are being abused at any level, they lose their ability to do those two things, to basically balance minerals and kick out unwanted metals. And so as we get weaker and weaker and weaker, decade after decade after decade, of course, we start feeling listless, we start feeling dull, we start getting brain fog and depression and fatigue, and most people haven't figured out. They haven't figured out that it's just because essentially we've turned so incredibly septic, and this adversely affects our brain and our mood and our thinking. And as you clear out the metals appropriately, most people are using inappropriate strategies to get rid of their heavy metals. It's a very methodical process to get the heavy metals out properly and balance the minerals at the same time. You've got to do both because the minerals have to be in balance. As soon as the minerals go into the correct proportion, and I'm talking about primarily the sodium and the potassium ratio, has to be at a particular balance. And that is, some of your listeners know about the sodium and the potassium pump. So the minerals have to be in balance in order so that nutrients can get into the cell and toxins can effectively come out of the cell. And so that's one of the main minerals, mineral ratios to fix. The calcium and magnesium ratio has to be fixed. The calcium and potassium ratio. All of these mineral ratios have to be at a certain certain level and ratio so that you're running on all eight cylinders. And it's like a light switch, Pat, going off in the body. As soon as you get the minerals into their correct levels and ratios, then your enzymes will work properly. Then your thyroid will work properly. Then your adrenals will work properly. Then hormones will work properly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very challenging thing to do, but when it works, and it does work as long as people follow, I call myself Sergeant Pam. You know, as soon as people listen to Sergeant Pam and they follow what Sergeant Pam says.
And if they don't, how can you work with them?
Because I can't.
They're not going to get the effect.
Yeah, my clients have to sign a contract before they work with me. They have to agree to be both very patient and very compliant because by the time people come to me, they've tried every silver bullet out there. and nothing is working. And so by the time I explain some of these issues with them and they start seeing the writing on the wall, that I am essentially looking deep under the hood of the cart to see what the root cause of the problem is in the first place, right? I'm not just looking at the surface. In other words, oh, you have a weak thyroid, take thyroid. That doesn't work. You know, you have a weak adrenal system. Oh, take an adrenal glandular or take ashwagandha. That won't work.
It's multifaceted. It's so crazy.
Difficult to fix these things. And the core of it all, Pat, though, is the animal fat. I can't get anybody back running on all light cylinders if they're not understanding the importance of animal
fat. Let's talk about that specifically so we can give some solutions or an understanding of what a solution can be. So animal fat, it's obvious for the people that are choosing non-pure butter straight from an animal source. They're doing the base cell, the butter substitute, the this and that. Also all the low-fat varieties of one thing and another. Talk a bit to give some insight into how they make better choices. Mm-hmm. It isn't rocket science. They can make a conscious decision and make some great choices here to get more animal fat.
Yeah, and I have some ideas on my website, which is just pamcolleen.com, and I have lots of links there to help people see what a regular breakfast, a regular lunch, and a regular dinner should look like. But the principal thing is to overcome any fat or cholesterol phobia you have, that essentially, you know, if you're eating a lot of plant-based foods in your diet, and these foods are used to, you know, they have been used now for many decades to displace the animal foods, that, you know, that's the biggest mistake we've made, especially in the last 50 to 60 years. This displacement of plant foods over animal foods has been taking place for a lot longer than that, but it's been most pronounced in the last, say, 50, 60 years. So, you know, don't ever hold back on the amount of animal fat you eat in your diet. When you're eating enough animal fat in your diet, this satisfies your appetite, and you'll notice that you will not overeat. And when you're eating carbohydrates, this is not replenishing, or it's not signaling your body properly to be satisfied with the quantity of food you're taking in. When you're eating enough animal fat in the diet, this satisfies. If you think about the word saturated, you know, SAT, right? You're satisfied, sated, satiety, right? You eat enough animal fat and this will satisfy your appetite. But there's some other, and I mentioned the fat-soluble vitamins and the importance of dietary cholesterol earlier on. There's just some very, very key nutrients that you need in order to support your nervous system. But also, the other thing that people don't understand is the proper functioning of bile and the gallbladder, and how saturated fat, animal fats, are crucial to triggering bile. And what happens is when you're eating a low-fat or a no-fat diet, this makes bile production thick and sluggish, and the bile becomes more prone to stoning. And we're supposed to be producing about a liter of bile a day, and it's supposed to be thin. So it goes through this entire highway system that you have in between, say, your liver and your pancreas. There's a whole highway system of bile ducts there. And if you're on a low-fat or a no-fat diet, bile is going to start getting really sticky and stuck in that bile duct system. And so you have to remember, bile is really crucial for making sure that these unwanted metals are taking their exit through your body. And so if your bile is thick and sluggish and you've got lots of gallstones, which unfortunately you can go to a radiologist and get tested, and I doubt they're going to find the gallstones, but I'd be hard-pressed today to find somebody who isn't, you know, who hasn't got hundreds of gallstones into their bile duct system. So, you know, unfortunately, doctors really don't understand this, which is unfortunate. But as soon as when people are clearing the bile ducts and they're getting enough animal fat in the diet, bile production is up, they start to feel better, Pat, because they're not aseptic. The heavy metals are taking their exit and going out into the toilet where it belongs, right? So I can tell you by cause and effect how often I see all of these poor people that I work with who have been debilitated with chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, anxiety. And as soon as we start working on liver and gallbladder functioning, how much better they feel as they start eliminating more effectively.
What if your gallbladder is removed? Now, just
You can still work around that. But the gallbladder is just a sac. Unfortunately, when people get their gallbladders removed, they're not really getting to the root cause of the problem. But it is something that you can work around. You need to take things like ox bile or some sort of digestive aid that has ox bile in it in order to help with the production of your bile. But it still didn't get rid of the gallstones that are trapped in the bile duct system. So you have to take measures in order to clear out the gallstones. And you need supervision, I think, to, you know, to do this. I have to work with my clients on a one-on-one basis to see if they can do something as dramatic as a liver gallbladder flush, for example, which, of course, you know, your doctors are going to tell you not to do. And, you know, the medical establishment is, oh, don't you dare do a liver gallbladder flush. It's so dangerous. It's not going to work. It doesn't da-da-da-da. I mean, that's the kind of rhetoric you're going to hear.
And it's been around for hundreds of years.
Oh, it's been a tried and true
But good
process.
Point to do it under supervision.
Yes.
Because if there is perhaps a stone too large to come out, you're running into a bit of an issue.
Yeah, there could be consequences. Yeah. I warn all of my clients, but it's one of these things that if you do it properly, you're damned if you do, but you're more damned if you don't do it, because it's hard to get rid of those gallstones. Yeah. And it really, your health relies on it. And I wish, I always tell my clients, I wish we had more cooperation within the medical establishment, because if they would acknowledge the importance of bile production and bile flow, then I don't think we would see the sickness that we see today, because that whole system is dependent upon that we're consuming enough animal fat in the diet in the first place. And secondarily, once we've damaged the liver gallbladder function, you know, how do we resuscitate it? That's a process that can take
a
long time
to
fix.
Well, I think the system has to crash and burn and really rebuild, because that's a tall order to expect them to rethink kind of the poison/burn method that we know is, you know, cutting things out is their best means of doing it. And we're, you know, just on a grassroots level, the masses will demand that, and that'll be the shakedown. Mm-hmm. But that's all we can do. Now, just to clarify, when you talk animal fat, so we're talking chicken, pork, beef.
Right. But chicken with skin, turkey with skin.
Yeah.
You want the skin,
yeah.
Right? You want gravy. So it's fatty meats. So you don't want to eat lean. We've never eaten lean meat in the history of mankind. When we were hunter-gatherers, when we killed an animal, we fed the lean meat to the dogs. You know, we didn't, because we knew the lean meat would give us a tummy ache, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to digest. You need the animal fat in the meat in order to assimilate things like minerals and protein, right? And so, sadly, we've been led to believe that we should be eating lean meats, but that's not what we should be doing. It's
and
very
what
hard
about
on us.
Fish? People are going to say, what about fish?
Well, fish has a lot more fat in that people have been led to believe as well.
Yeah.
So, but if you can eat wild fish, that's far better than these fish that are grown in tanks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something also that's incorporated into the dietary change with you. It isn't just focusing on meat as we know it with beef and
pork. Yeah, but the thing about fish today is that it is more of a luxury food because of the cost of fish.
Yeah.
It tends to be a little bit out of reach for people cost-wise.
Yeah.
I'm speaking generally, of course, but you know, it tends to be out of reach. So if it's meat, if people are just using a meat-based diet, that's fine. If they're not eating fish, they'll be just fine.
Yeah. Well, you alluded to also your next book, Hot Topic, Libido. What's going on? You hear a lot of people are struggling. They're not interested anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They're feeling too ill,
well,
too
what's
stressed.
Happening, what's happening is poor women, these poor women that I work with, and they're in their 20s and their 30s, they've had one, two babies, three babies, and they collapse with chronic fatigue right after their last pregnancy. And they can't get out of bed. They can't enjoy their families. They can barely, you know, do the laundry, do the cooking, whatever the case may be. This is an epidemic. And some of these women, unfortunately, because they're super women, society has a lot of pressure on these women that they're forcing themselves day in and day out to paint a smile on their face and pretend like everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no energy for them to you know, be intimate with their husbands. There's just no energy for them to be, you know, genuine as a mother. It's just everything is taken away from them in terms of their emotional, physical, spiritual selves. And so, you know, I'm very, very concerned about this trend that I'm seeing. And so, you know, I have a lot of clients who fit this exact model. These are moms that you know, collapsed after one pregnancy, two pregnancy, three pregnancies. And, you know, they're getting their adult lives back now. And some of them want to go on and have children, which is wonderful to see. They get to the point where they have enough energy to conceive again. But Sergeant Pam has to give them the green light. I have to know that they have some energy to be able to carry that pregnancy. Because what's happening, of course, with this miscarriages that we see today, it's largely, a lot of it has to do with the adrenal function, because of course if you're pushing out too many stress hormones, then your estrogen and progesterone and DHEA are going to be down. So we have to take measures to balance those hormones appropriately so that progesterone comes up naturally. And then, of course, progesterone, standing for progestation. If there's not enough progesterone being produced by the adrenal glands, then this is where you're going to see a lot of miscarriages, right? And that progesterone will normalize as we relax those adrenal glands and get the stress hormones to, you know, produce normally and naturally, not overproduce, right? And that has a lot to do with lifestyle. That has a lot to do with diet. It has a lot to do with heavy metals. And so it's a combination of things that have to be addressed. And
well, it's certainly an educational mm-hmm. process mm-hmm. for someone coming in to see Sergeant Pam, because not everybody is biochemically or even hormonally trained or can grasp that. But it's the only way you can truly drive the ship, take charge of your health. It's a learning curve. A self-discipline, most definitely. We're going to take our last break here of this amazing hour with Pam Colleen, and we're going to come back, and what a great way to finish off the hour. We're going to talk about more her next book and libido.
You're listening to 94.9 CHRW, your true alternative radio station.
All right, we're back. I'm not going to say too much. It's about libido. It's Pat Kennedy and Pam Colleen. This is the final quarter, and here we are on body, mind, and spirit. And everything we're talking about today isn't just about the physicalness of the body. I mean, we can't function appropriately mentally and emotionally and spiritually if the body's shutting down and working against us, so to speak. But in the realm of libido with individuals that are looking at making some changes there, mm-hmm. understanding that connection with animal fat.
That's right.
Your book coming up, right?
Yeah. No, and I'm concerned. I mean, I'm seeing, like I said, these women collapsing after one or two pregnancies. And or I see, you know, young women in their 20s who just have absolutely no interest in having sex. And these men who have erectile dysfunction in their 20s. This is a growing epidemic. It's a really, really big concern. You know, when a species is on their way out, you know, this is exactly what you're going to see. So something is very, very wrong. And I'm not the only one noticing this, but I think a lot of people have so much shame and guilt in talking about human sexuality and libido that I think it's about time we start this conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these people that I know who are out there taking, you know, horny goat weed, or they're taking, yep. you know, all of these remedies to try yes. and give themselves some sexual energy. It's not working, Pat, yeah. Because there's so much more going on under the scenes. And a lot of it has to do with the low-fat diet, and a lot of it has to do with the proper functioning of the adrenal glands, because the adrenal glands, when they're working properly, should be secreting enough of these sex hormones so that you can enjoy a healthy sex life. And so what I want to see people do is to return to healthy sexuality. There's other problems that are societal that are going on to destroy our vision, our view of sexuality. We see so much happening in terms of the media. And I'm not writing this book from a puritanical standpoint by any stretch of the imagination. All I'm saying is why are we seeing so much sexual dysfunction today? Why are people so sexually unhappy today? And I think that there are answers, definitely answers. When I work with clients, I have women in their 60s who start off with me, have no libido at all, and then after they're on my program, their libido comes back. So I know at any generation that yeah. it's
any
not,
age.
At any age, they should have healthy libido. And people don't talk about it, and the solutions that they're gravitating to are not working. And after years and years and years of looking for answers, people just throw up their arms and they give up. But I don't think we should give up. I think we should dig very deeply and work together to solve this problem at a healthy level.
Well, nutritionally speaking, it has mm-hmm. to affect your libido. Just what are you putting in your body? Mm-hmm. What are you putting on your body? And do you even have that mental capacity to deal with it? Well, it's almost the straw that breaks the camel's back for a lot of the women I know my age, mm-hmm. because it's like, oh, well, I just, you know, I'm too tired. I can't fit that in. Yeah, I can't fit that in the day.
They're just so too tired. They have time for and the tragedy, of course, is we're seeing even the addiction to pornography. That doesn't take as much energy as it does to have a relationship, you know. And what is pornography doing to men, to marriages in general? We see a pattern. We see a trend happening, you know. Again, I'm not being puritanical about this, but I think we're crossing the line in the sand with some of these issues. The hypersexuality of young girls, you know, on and on and on. I could go. We're getting a lot of very negative messages around sexuality. I want people to go out and have healthy sex lives, not mm-hmm. what I see going on out there today for the most part. There's some dangerous messages that are being sent out.
Well, and perpetuated by the media. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. This is so multidimensional, this libido situation, and how we're bringing up our children and to have a healthy sex life. But then the basic core foundation of being healthy mm-hmm. and the nutritional component. And it's the whole body, mind, spirit.
That's exactly
connection. Right. You can't take one of those and dissociate it from the rest. It's mm-hmm. so interrelated, interconnected.
I wrote about some of this. I alluded to some of this in my second book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, because I was talking about this isolation that people feel, through internet addiction, and how that basically just disconnects us as a society, as humans, right? We need real-time activity. You know, we need to be able to have. I look at young people today. These people who are addicted to video games, for example,
or texting,
and they can't look you in the eye when they're having a conversation with you. They really have very poor conversational skills. They haven't been trained because they've been potentially playing very addicting video games. The sex issue aside, it's really just about interpersonal skills. And that is an art and a science in and of itself. But I see these young people today and they really don't have the skills that it takes to court a woman in the first place. It's really tragic.
Yeah, it is tragic. And you'll see children, young adults texting each other and they're standing together. So they're not even communicating. Mm-hmm. They're actually texting each other. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary thought. And I think a lot of those core values come from the parents for sure. But then it's such a big problem. I mean, there's so many other issues that play a role in that. When do you think your book's out, out of curiosity?
I have a lot of people pressuring me to have it out by Christmas. maybe. I don't expect so. I'm expecting more so next year I'll have it out. And I think we should start the conversation. I think young people need to step forward and start doing. If they're questioning whether or not they have problems with their libido, then that means they probably have a problem with their libido. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't have a desire, if magic isn't happening in the bedroom, I think you need to start looking at ways to, basically increase the magic, if you will.
And opening up the dialogue, you say, mm-hmm. not feeling isolated and embarrassed or going to be judged in mm-hmm. saying you have a problem. Here we are in the heart of the University of Western Ontario, thousands of students and young, and you can bet, knowing what's going on with the masses, there are kids and young adults that are struggling.
They're
with
suffering
this.
In silence. I mean, obviously I don't have any issue in terms of talking about controversial issues. You know, my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax, my last book.
Bring it on, Pam, bring it on.
Elephant in the room, you know, addiction, right? So now I'm taking it up a notch and we're talking about human sexuality here. And we can't delay this. We have to start talking about this. There's just too many young people suffering out there, not getting the fullness of life. Mm-hmm. And I lost the fullness of my life for my 20s and my 30s. And I don't want to see this happen to other young people today. I mean, I can't begin to tell you these people I'm talking to who are the same age as I was when I first collapsed, 23, 24, 25 years old. And they can barely get out of bed. They're that exhausted. And I told them, listen, I was in your shoes. You can get well. You will get your lives back. But you got to listen to Sergeant Pam. And, over time they do. They get their lives back. But it's a process and it takes a very special person to surrender to my program. Because I'll tell you something, you have to first understand there is no quick fix. This does take time to fix.
And I love the honesty of that. There's no doubt about it. And, this is a reality of a lot of our colleagues in natural preventative medicine, like myself, all the symptoms of MS, being super mom, super colleagues,
you were taking
everything.
On the world.
Everything. So, at the end of the day, when you take a look back, mm-hmm. and it took me 3 years to get healthy, turned down six pharmaceuticals for life. Mm-hmm. Thank God, what a blessing I fell apart. But we can avoid that with our children and break this cycle. Yeah. We can with this knowledge, this information. That's what I love about this show. It's going to really...
Every Wednesday, Ev's Thick Fat Sound Choir will be hosted at the APK. There are no auditions, no long-term commitments, just a place where you can just sing any song you like, any way you like. So jot in your calendars and make your way down to the APK every Wednesday at 8:30 to sing your soul out.
Throw a stone in the water. It makes ripples. Ripples make waves. Waves make sounds. Hear these sounds on the third stone. Join me, Sky, the first Wednesday of the month, noon till 1:30, as we explore music from all over the world. Traditional meets contemporary in a broad, diverse, and comprehensive listen to the best music the world has to offer. The Third Stone is music from the whole wide world. Collect air miles. The first Wednesday of the month, noon till 1:30 at 94.9 CHRW.
Those mundane work days keeping you down? Wake up to 94.9 CHRW to cure those corporate blues.
This is your concert calendar for Wednesday, September 25th. Canal Street at Jack's, Epstick Fat Sound Choir at the APK, Halo Rita at the Black Shire Pub, Indie Underground at Corley Office, Open Acoustic Stage, GNT at the Town and Country, Open Jam Night at the Eastside Bar and Grill, Open Jam with Joe Williams at Fitzrace, Wolf Wizard Radio Host Music Trivia at the Morsey House, and playing Western Film R, Kick-Ass at 7 and The To-Do List at 9.05. This has been your concert calendar for Wednesday, September 25th. You're listening to 94.5. Port 9 CHRW.
Good afternoon. This is your CHRW news update for Wednesday, September 25th. I'm John Isbell. Today, Declan Hill, an investigative journalist, will deliver a public talk about globalized sports corruption at Western University's Faculty of Law at 12:30. He will deliver the lecture, The Coming Destruction of Sports, How the Asian Gambling Market Will Kill Canadian Sports, as part of Western's Law's Distinguished Speaker Series. Hill specializes in the study of organized crime and international issues. Hill's book, The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime, that told the story of match-fixing gangs destroying international soccer, became a bestseller in 20 languages. And now for a look at your weather. Currently it's 16 degrees and partly cloudy. This afternoon will be overcast and 20 degrees. Tomorrow will be 22 degrees with clear skies. And that was your CHRW news update for Wednesday, September 25th. I'm John Isbell. Thanks for listening.
Plant seeds stimulate some thought, and we now have, with the help of our new producer,
commencing system check. Treble. Online, mid-range. Online, bass. Unacceptable, increasing bass level. Bass. System scan completed.
The Global Gathering.
A nueva música de danza de todo el mundo.
Thanks for tuning in today, Wednesday, 12 to 1:30 with the Global Gathering here on CHRW 94.9. We got DJ FX and DJ Dubs in the studio here. For the first half an hour, you'll be hearing a lot of new stuff, a lot of great hits that DJ FX has been finding over the last week, over the last month, over the last couple months, whatever it is. He finds good music, he plays you good music, he mixes good music, and he is here today to play for the first half. Myself, I'll be DJing the last half of the show today, so get ready for it. Should be a good show. We're going to talk about Temp Party. We're going to talk about Zed's Dead. We're going to talk about Steve Aoki. If you haven't heard about Steve Aoki lately, you want to hear the news that he was involved in lately. So get ready for a big show. Thanks for listening to CHRW 94.9 with the Global Gathering.